Okay? This teaching is about ungodly soul ties. Ungodly soul ties or ungodly spiritual connections. When God created Adam and Eve, God invented the relation of man and woman, of husband and wife. And He said in Genesis 2:23 and 24, let me turn to it in my Bible. Genesis 2:23 and 24. Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. She was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." That's Genesis 2:23 and 24. So what does it mean that God has created man and woman to become one flesh? Well, there's obviously a physical union, a sexual union that binds them together as husband and wife. It is an expression of love and intimacy. And through this expression of love, God has designed that life be created, that children be conceived. So it's a very mysterious, spiritual, and physical union. And this word in the Hebrew, when it says one flesh, the root of that word is like weaving two strands of thread or strings together to form, for instance, a carpet. It's weaving or knitting two separate strings or objects together to become one. So it's a very profound, deep mystery that a husband and wife, in the eyes of God, become one. Also, there's another spiritual dimension. The Bible teaches that the relation of husband and wife is a symbol of the relation of Christ and His church. So marriage is a symbol that points beyond itself to the divine relation of Christ as the groom and the body of Christ, the church, as the bride. So it's a very important, significant thing to God. And I read a little teaching one time that said that the husband and wife have tremendous strength when there's unity between them. That if in a building, if you put two columns or two piers to hold up the roof, well, first, if you put one pillar or one column, it will hold so much weight. If you put two pillars side by side, well, common sense would seem to indicate that it would hold up twice as much weight. But if you put two pillars side by side, they will hold 50 times as much weight as one pillar. Now, I don't understand the physics of that at all, but it is true. And so you have this teaching that God said it's not good for man to be alone, and He creates a woman to be His partner, and the two of them, when they're in unity together, have a tremendous strength that one person does not have. Now, when husband and wife are united in marriage and have sexual relations, they become one flesh. One, there's a spiritual unity there. Also, then, the Bible teaches that because people sinned and fell away from God, when they sin sexually, there still becomes a one flesh relationship when you have sex with anyone. When people have sex with, for instance, fornication with someone that they're not married to, they become bonded in a one-flesh relationship. And then Paul goes on to teach in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 16 through 18. Let me turn to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'll start in verse 13, 1 Corinthians 6, 13. He says, "Foods for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will destroy both. The body is not for sexual immorality, but is for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." So, God tells us very clearly that we are not created for sexual pleasure. That's a gift of God for a husband and a wife, but that's not the purpose of our creation, as so many people in society act as if that's the purpose of life, is sexual pleasure. And it's not. He says the body is created for the Lord. Notice he doesn't say the spirit is created for the Lord or the soul is created for the Lord. He says the body is created for the Lord. And of course, the soul and the spirit are also created for the Lord. But he's emphasizing that these bodies belong to the Lord. They're not to be used for our own pleasure. And then verse 16, "Don't you know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her?" So if you have sexual union with a prostitute, you become one with her. "For the two," and then he quotes Genesis, "shall become one flesh. But the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Therefore flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but the person who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body." Now, I don't understand this, and I haven't read any teaching that explains it in a way that I can understand it clearly. Sexual sin is not worse than other sin, but it's different because our sexual identity is so closely related to our personality, to our individuality, to the image of God in which we're created, that when we sin sexually, we sin against our own body, against our own nature, against the image of God within us. So it's very dangerous to sin sexually. And when we are joined to anyone sexually, even when a grown man, for instance, violates a child, a little girl or a little boy, they become one flesh. There is a spiritual union that needs to be broken. So when I minister to someone, if I learn that they've committed sexual sins, I have them, of course, I find out if there was sexual sin in their family to find the bad root and generational curses. I deal with that. Then I have them repent of their sexual sin and say, "In the name of Jesus, I break this spiritual union, this spiritual connection, this one flesh connection, this soul tie between me and the other people that I committed, that I had sex with. I break and renounce those spiritual connections." And then if I find out in ministering to someone that they were sexually molested as a child or a teenager, I have them say, you know, forgive that person. To say in the name of Jesus, I break and renounce the spiritual connection, the soul tie between me and that person. I renounce any demonic spirits that came into me because very frequently demonic spirits of perversion and homosexuality or hatred or fear or self-hatred. Because spirits of self-hatred and self-condemnation come in many times when people are sexually molested. So I have them break and renounce that and set them free from these spiritual connections. And it makes a difference in their life. I recently ministered to a young man in Mexico. He confessed that he had raped a woman. In fact, he had been sent to prison for 6 months and had been released from prison only recently for that. But he felt he was full of guilt and full of condemnation and full of fear and so forth. And then I learned that this woman whom he had raped, and this is a pretty terrible story, and I apologize for telling it, but you know, when we minister to people, we run into all kinds of situations, and we need to understand how to minister to them. He learned that this woman who had accused him of rape and had him sent to prison, that she had also accused three other men of rape and had them sent to prison. So obviously, this woman was involved in some sort of wicked scheme against men. Now, I'm sure that she had a bad root. Perhaps she had been molested when she was a child, or perhaps by her father or some other man, and she hated men. But I consider it a form of witchcraft. What she was doing was trapping men. And the book of Proverbs talks about women who trap men in sexual sin in order to destroy their souls. And I think this is an example of that. And so I ministered, this man repented of his sin, we broke generational curses, etc., etc. But he still felt very heavy and cold inside. There was something, he was not released. When we minister deliverance, when we minister inner healing and set people free from demons, all the heaviness leaves. They feel warm, they feel peace, they feel love. But he felt heavy and cold. So I had him break the soul ties with this woman, the spiritual connections, and immediately when we did that, he was set free. The coldness left him. See, there was a demonic spiritual connection somehow in his soul between himself and this woman. And when we broke that, he was set free. Now, another type of soul tie is through domination of a parent over a child, or over a husband over a wife, for instance. Domination or manipulation. Domination is when a parent controls a child or a spouse through force. Manipulation is when they control them through deception, or through words, or through threats, etc. A young couple came for ministry, and they said, "We need wisdom. We need prayer. We don't know what to do." The father of the wife said, they said, he's very strong and dominating. He's been dominating our marriage. He's been telling us what to do. He's been telling us how to discipline our children, telling us where we can go to church, how we can spend our money. And he's just ruining our lives. And I said to them, you know, the Bible teaches in Genesis that husband and wife shall become one flesh, and he shall leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife. So when I said, you know, that that's for the husband and the wife, they're to honor their father and mother, but they are to not to be under their control any longer. And he said, well, you know, this father is controlling us, and we don't know what to do. And I said, well, I'll tell you what you should do. You should pray for him, and then you should go and sit down with him and say to him, we love you and we respect and honor you, but you've been controlling our life, and we're not going to permit you to do that anymore. And both of them looked shocked, and they said, oh, he's very strong. He will explode. And I said, well, let him explode. You know, that's his problem. But I said, your problem is not the father of the wife. Your problem is that you haven't had the courage to stand up to him. I said, really, it's not his problem, it's your problem. And I said, I'm not criticizing you or condemning you, because I know this is very hard. It's very difficult when you have a dominating parent like that. But you need to ask the Lord for courage, and you need to go and confront this situation very gently and in love. And when he explodes, just say, you know, Dad, we're not going to let you control us by your anger and by exploding like this and your words anymore. You're messing up our marriage. We are adults, and we're going to live our own life. And then just get up and go home. And don't let him do this, and it will stop. And then he will respect you, and everything will be okay. See, this is what we have to do. We can't let a parent, a father or mother, continue to dominate a marriage. And in this illustration, I read about this young mother. This was her testimony. This was a testimony of a counselor. This young mother came and she had a little child, 2 or 3 years old, and then she had a new baby, only about a month old. And she said, my mother is driving me crazy. She calls me every day from another city, and she talks for 4 hours. It was a nearby city, and she talks for 4 hours. And she said, I'm not exaggerating. She said, if I say to her, Mother, I've got to go and change the diapers on my babies. I've got to take care of my children. She'll say, oh, you don't love me. I'm going to kill myself. And I say, oh, Mother, don't kill yourself. I'll talk to you. And she said, you know, it's affecting my children. I can't take care of them. I don't know what to do. Well, the counselor said, well, your mother is controlling you by manipulation. And your mother is very sick. See, her husband had left her, the father of the girl, and everyone had left her because she was trying to control and manipulate everybody. He said, you say to your mother, you call her and you say, Mother, I love you very much, and I don't want you to commit suicide, but I'm not going to talk to you for 4 hours anymore. I'll talk to you for 15 minutes when I have time and taking care of my children. I'll call you, or if you call me and I'm busy, I'll say I'll call you later. And we'll talk for 10 or 15 minutes, and then I'll say, Mom, I'll talk to you again later, and hang up, but I can't do this anymore. But Mom, you need counseling. You need help, because you feel that no one loves you, and you feel if I don't talk to you for 4 hours, I don't love you. I do love you, but I can't let you control and dominate my life like this. And I'm going to get you help. I'm going to get you some counselor that you can go to and get help, so that you won't feel like that you need the Lord. You need to know that He loves you, and you don't need to control the people around you so much. Sometimes this kind of control and domination, which can be a form of witchcraft. See, the spirit of witchcraft is the spirit of control. And it also can create an ungodly soul tie. And we need to break that spiritual connection. The way to minister to that girl was not only to give her counsel about her mother, but to pray for her heart and to say, I break this spiritual connection with my mother. The way to pray for this young couple was to say, we break this domination, this spirit of domination, this spiritual connection with our father. I know it's a different connection than a sexual connection, a soul tie, but I think they're similar enough that I teach about them together. Also, clubs or church can become a cult. It can become very dominating. I've ministered to people who've been in churches where the pastor has become a complete tyrant, and the pastor and the elders will start controlling the members of the congregation, telling them everything, where they can live, the kind of car they can buy, how they spend their money, where they can go on vacation. You know, it's just outrageous. This is tyranny. And sometimes it gets so terrible that it causes divorces and ruptures in families. The pastors can threaten the family that if you leave my church, you know, you're under a curse. You're supposed to submit to my control and don't touch God's anointed. You know, God has given me the authority over this church. You know, pastors who do that are beating their sheep. They're controlling their sheep like the devil, not like the Lord. The Lord says we're to love people and serve them, not control them like a tyrant. So people need to be helped to confront such a pastor and to leave that church, not in anger or hatred or judgment, because then the judgment will come back. They need to forgive him and love him, but lovingly confront him and explain to him that he's out of order and that they're not going to allow their family to be controlled. They're leaving the church. And sometimes this is very difficult because whole families can be involved in these cult-type churches, and then the pastor will excommunicate that family and forbid the rest of the family to even talk to them. I've ministered in churches to people where they were in churches where that happened. So that sometimes that's how it can cause a divorce. If the husband or wife wants to leave the church, then the pastor say, you have to divorce your mate. You know, they're in rebellion against God. Well, that's not rebellion against God when people refuse to let themselves be dominated and controlled by a tyrannical pastor. So that can be a form of abuse, and it can create an ungodly soul ties. It's a form of witchcraft, and the people sometimes feel almost paralyzed. We've had in the United States, there are cult churches where there have been mass suicides. And of course, we remember the Jim Jones suicide in Guyana. And that was a form of witchcraft, a form of control where he exercised such hypnotism over the people that they lost their own freedom. Let's pray. If you recognize that you have been involved in ungodly sexual relationships, say, Heavenly Father, please forgive me. In the name of Jesus, I break and renounce ungodly soul ties, ungodly spiritual connections between myself and every spiritual partner other than my spouse. And if someone sexually molested you when you were a child or a teenager, say, Lord, I forgive that person. In the name of Jesus, I break and renounce spiritual connections, soul ties between myself and that person. I renounce spirits of perversion and homosexuality. I renounce spirits of fear and anger. I renounce spirits of self-hatred and self-condemnation. I command every unclean spirit to leave me. If you are in a relationship if you have a father or mother that have been controlling your marriage, forgive them and talk with your spouse. And I encourage you to lovingly sit down with them and tell them that you're not going to allow them to do that anymore. It's not God's will. We're to leave our father and mother and cleave to our wife or to our husband. But do it in gentleness and with respect. If you've been involved in a church or some other organization where you realize it's become dominating and controlling, I encourage you to pray about this with your spouse, with your family, and make a decision to talk with the leaders of that church, and don't allow yourself to be intimidated. Confront the situation. You must stand up. It's not God's will for you. And these threats, you know, that you're in rebellion against God and so forth, and that's a lie. It's God's will for you to be out of such an organization in Jesus' name. Pray for God to bless you as you break these ungodly spiritual connections. Amen.